What's good, everybody? First, before you listen to this podcast, I just want to say I love you guys and just appreciate with all my heart. I hope everybody's doing super well. I also want to talk about the new hit show, Tea with Gary Vee, every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern on Facebook Live, facebook.com/Gary. Tea with Gary Vee, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., 2 hours of me doing Q&A with people individually, the deepest in-depth that I've ever done, more than Ask Gary Vee. I'm super excited about it. It's on facebook.com/Gary every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's a smash. If you go on social media, people are freaking out. Maybe my best content pillar ever. If you want to get your questions on it, you can ask at 212-931-5731 on my community app. That's where we're taking the questions from. And what I mean by that is you ask the question there, use hashtag T with Gary V, and then somebody from my team goes in there and contacts you and actually gets you to be in the prompt for asking the question on the show in video form on Zoom, which is the infrastructure I'm using to then distribute out to Facebook. T with Gary V, the new smash hit show, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern. West Coast, wake up at that 5:45 time, brush your teeth and get on it. We got a lot of West Coast people on it. Hope you enjoy it. Hope I see you there. Love you guys. See ya.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Yeah, okay, it's T with Gary V. Sipping empathy. I know patience is the key. Putting out all of my shit for free. This is T with Gary V. Might go make a flip. Take a risk.
Yo, good morning. We're back. We are back after a little hiatus. I missed you. I'm sorry. Let's fix this a little bit. I don't know. The curtains, man, whatever. Hope everybody's super well. Spirit's coming in. The tea is here, and we are on with Tea with Gary V. I'm super excited on this Tuesday morning, and let's get right into it. I have Dustin on ones and twos, and today's a huge day. We have a monster thing coming out. I'll be probably looking at my phone a little bit here. During the show, because something's about to launch on the internet that's going to make your head explode, and I am working on it feverishly, and so I'm a little distracted, a little bit more than normal. Please bear with me because there's breaking news, but I didn't want to cancel today's show because we've been on for Friday and Monday, and so I wanted to get back. So let's get right into it, Dustin. Let's get right into it.
What's up, Gary?
How are you, Phil?
Good,
how are things?
Long time.
Long time. It's good to see you.
Hey, man. So listen, one of the things that we've done in our company is we put together, I want to give you a little context before I answer my question. We put together a model of coronavirus buying decision making amongst 150 to 200 million consumers. And we put it together, this data, over the last few days to see why people are making purchasing decisions.
Okay.
And one thing we found is in the last 4 weeks, a complete skip, a complete jump from anything we've seen in the last 10 years, where people are buying for three reasons only right now: helping others, safety, and trust. Over the last few years, you've seen this as well: significance, acquiring wealth, showing how great you are. Those were a lot of the key buying decisions, purchasing decisions that buyers are making, and it's completely flip-flop. And so there are a lot of business owners right now who built their business over the last few years on trust, safety, and helping others, and they haven't gotten traction. And so I'm super curious from you, like, what do you tell business owners? Because it feels like this is their moment.
Offense, if they can deliver it, right? A lot of people built their, you know, on trust or things of that nature and don't have the logistics or the infrastructure to actually take advantage of it, given the nature of whatever they sell. So, you know, to me, the answer during good times and the answer during bad times, challenging times, opportunistic times, is always offense. Offense comes in the form of communication. Communication comes in the form of advertising or original content or acting like a media company. So, you know, to me, I'm seeing a lot of the similar trends, Phil, and I'm watching people. For example, I have friends who are like, my e-com business is up 2x because they have a trust-oriented soap or something. And I'm like, how's your behavior? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, are you spending? They're like, Gary, we're converting better than ever on Facebook and Instagram because a lot of people have pulled out their ads because their businesses are bad.
Right.
And I'm like, why are you not 7xing your spend if you have the money? Like, people are, you know, you've got to know when to strike you know, I've only had one real obvious moment in my career where all my savings came. I had all my savings. I didn't make a lot of money building my dad's business for him, but I didn't spend any money. I lived in a shitty apartment and just saved. And I had this moment where I just believed in social media and I saw Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and I spent all my money on investing in those companies. And I remember at the time was like, should I have held back 20% of my savings, things of that nature? But it was black and white to me.
Yeah.
And if I'd held back those 20%, that would have been millions and millions and millions of dollars lost. And so it's funny when you were telling that story, that's what I went back to that moment. If you've got a business that was built on that, if you're seeing the traction, you're not just watching this video and you're like, oh, okay, let me spend all my money. If you're seeing the indications of traction because you have the ability to execute, you have to go all in.
Yeah, and so I totally agree. And you know, I'll give you another one of the data points I'd really like to get your feedback on for your community, which is the platforms that people are going to right now. On digital, it's Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And weirdly enough, well, actually it's not, because that's where people get news, is Twitter. It's actually a pretty decent platform to advertise on right now. But here's the crazy thing. 25% of all Americans right now making purchasing decisions are watching local news and consuming local newspapers, local whatever. That is equal to what everybody is watching on the cable news networks right now. So 25% of America are watching the cable news networks, and 25% of America is just focused on traditional local news. And I know you always talk about this, about how there are efficiencies sometimes in local TV, local and traditional advertising. It feels like this is one of those moments as well.
The debate there is, so I understand that. Like even for me, I have local 2, 4, and 7 on quite a bit. Yeah. Because there's a little bit of a warmth of a face that you've known for 34 years, like delivering it. To me, the question is the commercials. What's happening during commercial time? Because we're seeing a lot of interesting things during bigger TV events right now, where the social, like we've been watching last month, and the social spike during commercial times, as soon as a president's briefing or breaking news or Fauci speaking or Cuomo's on, like we're seeing a ton of massive spikes. I think we now live in a world of consuming the main thing and then immediately going here and giving our 2 cents, which inevitably means the commercials having a harder time penetrating us. And so yes, there's always efficiencies. We're seeing a lot of similar things. My question is, I'm always trying to get people to separate the content from the commercial.
Correct.
So Phil, it's great to see you, man. I hope everything's well. Take care. Let's keep it going. A lot of interesting stuff going on out there. Andrew.
Oh. Whoa, what's up?
What's good, Gary?
So before I ask my question, I was on Planet of the Apps. So it was me and my 2 business partners, and I wasn't on the show because they only wanted 2 people, but I was Evolve, the calorie tracking app with your voice.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, so that was, and that's, I remember, awesome. You yelled at them for playing Rock, Paper, Scissors live.
Yes.
So that was me, and I was super bummed that we didn't get you, but yeah, because I didn't get to meet you because they're really strict. But, you know, patience, finally meet you 3 years later.
It's a real pleasure. But,
so my question is this. My last company, the one that was on Planet of the Apps, ultimately ended up not working. It was my first startup. I'm a software engineer. We raised $2 million, made a bunch of marketing mistakes. So now I'm actually working on a new project that I'm really passionate about, and it's a travel subscription app. I was supposed to launch last month. So now my question for you is, when would you launch, number one? And number two, I want to spend the marketing dollars right this time. I have like a smaller budget, 20 to 50K. How would you market a travel subscription app? And I'm thinking it's geared towards millennials mostly, but that's kind of where I'm stuck.
How much
right
does it cost?
$99 a month.
So I would spend the marketing on Facebook. And I would target upper millennial, you know, high net worth individuals, because $99 a month subscription is a real number. And so you're gonna need people to actually have money. It's $1,200 a year. So I would go very high end Facebook. I would launch it minimally 100 days after things went back to normal, whether that's normal. 3 months, 6 months. You need 100 days of data. I'm very concerned. People are scared.
Yeah. That's people what I'm worried about.
Humans by nature are very, very capable of being fear-based. I mean, on a good day, I can't see travel. If everything goes well, travel should be down 20%.
Right.
Because just a bunch of people are like, I'm not traveling. The corona is going to come back.
Yeah, that's, you know? Yeah. So that's what I was thinking too. So assuming things go back to normal in May or June, you would think minimum at least 3 months.
Minimum, because May and June, the way I think about it is September becomes normal because May, June, July, August is like staggered.
Right.
I mean, I think you need to be mentally prepared that you might have to wait here a little bit.
That's what I was
thinking. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I feel like maybe November 1st, maybe January 15th in that range. It'd be my guess. If I was the partner right now, I'd be like, hey, let's mentally prepare for that range.
Okay, cool. And then
Facebook ads targeting towards people that travel. And then what I would also do is give away a tenth of a point up to 3 points of the company. So 30 big time, 2-4 million followers on Instagram travel people.
Uh-huh.
And I'd give them a tenth of a point of the company in advisory shares,
mm-hmm,
in exchange for real promotion around the app.
Right. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Andrew, that's a really important point. I want to make sure you grasp that one. By giving up 3 points of your company, which is 3% of zero at first, with such a small budget, it can really be the match that gets your business going. And there are some significantly large travel influencers on Instagram that are going to be definitely worth a tenth of a point. And they've never owned a piece of a company for their work. Right. So they're going to over-deliver for what you're giving them in return. I think it's a big and important part of your strategy.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gary.
Take care.
Later.
Well. Let me give a shout out. Lori J on Facebook, what's good? Holly B, what's good? John Rawlings, what's good? Good to see everybody this morning. Brandon Dunn, Rude Jean. Let's keep it going, Dust. Good to see you, Megan. Josh, what's good?
Hey, how you doing, Gary?
I'm well. How can I help you?
So basically, you know, it's pretty simple. So basically, I grew up in a family that all I ever knew was no. And basically, my family was always just, this is just enough. So basically, I like to overachieve. And I basically have two jobs now. And anytime I talk to anybody in my family, they tell me I'm doing too much. I don't know what to do now. Like, basically, I'm stuck. You know, I have two jobs, sometimes three, depending on what I'm doing that week. And I'm an essential worker. I work for Uber Eats and I work for GoPuff. And just I don't know what to do.
What do you mean you don't know what to do? You like believe them that you're doing too much?
No, I don't. You know, I'm the only one that overachieves. Besides all of them, you know, I make enough money. I'm satisfied where I am now. But I want to know what I could do next. Like, I feel stuck, you know?
Well, what are you aiming for?
Well, I eventually do want to start a YouTube channel, basically. I feel like I have enough content around what I do in order to make YouTube. But every time, like, for example, at the beginning of this year, I just got my car back. Then I was homeless for a little bit. So we just got back into a new house back the beginning of this month. So basically, I'm building slowly, but every time I get towards my goal, something else pops up, you know?
Well, let's take a step back. What makes you happy?
What makes me happy? Well, I'll be honest. My son makes me very happy.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, my son makes me very happy. You know, besides that, he is about to be 7 in May.
That's amazing.
Okay. Yeah, so basically, you know, basically everything we do, me and my girlfriend, everything we do is based off of him. You know, we live for him, basically. And, you know, like, basically, for example, we promised him a PlayStation. And still, to this day, we're still trying to get that because something else always comes up. And we're always trying to battle with that.
We're gonna do two things. One, you're going to email me and I'm going to send you a PlayStation for him.
Okay.
That's going to happen right now. As soon as you hang up, email me at Gary at VaynerMedia and I'll get you a PlayStation. Two, you're going to try not to make things with him. Let me rephrase. You get the parent the way you want a parent. One, I'm going to get you the PlayStation. So good. The little man's got a PlayStation. Two, my recommendation, one man's point of view, you know how to parent, you do your thing. I don't think goals should be around stuff.
Okay.
Because you're training him to put things on a pedestal. Right? You know how I talk a lot about keeping up with the Joneses? Like, you know how I'm always scared that people want a BMW? I think it starts early. I think when you make stuff like the North Star, and it makes sense to me when I hear homeless, struggle, you know, when I hear all that, right? I'm hearing you're the only one overachieving and you're going through the grind. So I'm like, fuck, man, this guy came from the dirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've got a lot of respect for you. And I know that when people come from that place, stuff is on a pedestal. You know, when you got nothing and TV and then the internet is showing you stuff, you want that. But I also think that leads to enormous amounts of unhappiness.
No, you're 100% right. You know, you're 100% right. All I ever wanted was Amazes cars and showing off to everybody else. But eventually, I started to overgrow that. Once I became homeless for a little bit with my girlfriend and my son, I overgrew that very quickly. And I realized
that humility
doesn't get you anywhere.
I want to make sure your son doesn't get caught. He was 7, 6 when he felt homelessness. He's now going to put a PlayStation on a pedestal. That's okay, though. Like, he's going to have that happiness. That's good. But I think he's super early. By the way, you're super early to flip the script on fuck stuff. That may also be the unlock to you feeling stuck. If you go for happiness for the process, then all of a sudden, like, it's crazy. I know people don't believe me when I'm like, I don't care about all the, I love my game so much, I don't care about all the stuff. They're like, yeah, you're about that money, you're happy, you got that. Like, they don't understand. They really don't. I'm telling you the truth, my man. They don't understand. When you just love what you're doing and you love the people around you when you're doing it, you've won. And so I want to make sure you're not stuck because you're trying to figure out how to maintain a roof over your head and then start something that may make enough money to go at it based on the car, the PlayStation stuff. I don't want you to do that. I want you to take a step back and really think about like what you like doing. And how do you just like not give a shit about stuff? I'm telling you right now, man, if you can really, like when you were homeless, you didn't give a fuck about that stuff because, you know, you were at that place where you're like, fuck it, I need a roof, right?
You're right.
But now that you've got the roof, you know what starts trickling in? You're like, let me put some stuff in this roof.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to fight that. You're still early enough, and I definitely want you to fight it for the kid.
Like, you know, basically, you know, we literally still sleep on the air mattress, you know, straight from the grind, straight from the muscle. You know what I mean? We are doing it from the bottom to the top, trying to make everything possible. You know, I'm outside working every day, 6 to 8 hours, and sometimes even more if we need to, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. 6 to 8 hours is not a lot of time of work. I mean that with like all the respect and love. I know I'm right. But I think that you're coming from such a place, right? That like I'm listening, right? Overachieving. This is where I'm at. 6 to 8 hours. I'm like, man, again, I'm like, okay, this guy really, really got raised in an environment that demonized work or demonized success or like played it safe or were fearful or many other things that I don't know. We're just trying to get on here. But let me tell you something. Like when you're on air mattress and borderline, you know, in and out of like being homeless, I promise you, and this is from the love place of, I think you got a good sense of me. This is coming from straight love. Josh, 6 to 8 hours ain't shit. I think
see, you're right. You know,
go ahead. Go ahead, please.
So basically, I was raised by my grandparents. My mom said at 3 months old, I cried way too much. She handed me right off. So my grandparents basically raised me, and both of them, since the age of about 45, lived off of Social Security and SSI. They never wanted to overachieve or risk that because they didn't know what was beyond that. So basically, they always shelter me in a little cocoon to try to like hide me away from life, you know? So basically, I didn't have a real childhood. I'm trying to show my son a real childhood now because I didn't have that. I didn't get to go out and have fun with my friends because I wasn't allowed to have friends, and I wasn't allowed to go outside and play off the block because I could get hurt, and I was always safe. And basically everybody else that I'm around, basically my cousins, we all grew up in the same age. I'm the only one that's doing something in my life. We're trying to do something because everybody else is just trying to just stay at zero.
I got it. Listen, one of the great things that ever happened to me was I went to a really underperforming academic college, Mount Ida College. And it was this world, man. Like, imagine me surrounded by people who wanted to figure out how to trick the government to like let them not work, or coming from really adverse, you know, I came from some adverse shit, but like very quickly there was stability and then prosperity started to grow. You know, like people were coming from grinds, dirt. And like, I was in that world for 4 years, and that was my friend base, and that was my society, that was my culture. And it you know, besides being an empath, I was really in the front lines of it, right? And so I don't judge you, right? Like, I'm reading the comments and everyone's like, this motherfucker, 6 to 8 hours, that ain't even a full day, you know? And I understand where you're coming from. On the flip side, I really understand where you're coming from. I think you need to hear, you know, more ambition. I think you need to download 15 to 20, you know, podcasts and just listen to ambition 24/7. 24/7 ambition in your ears. Because what's happening is you're comparing yourself to people that have zero ambition. And so you think you're overachieving at 6 to 8 hours. And then when we got through this talk, we're like, whoa, you're not even starting.
Of course.
And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Who gives a, Josh, step number one, this is for everybody out there, anybody who's in a predicament, step number one is fuck yesterday. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you work 0 hours, 6, 4, your grandparents, your mom, you know, abandonment, that's the worst. Your grandparents, like, you can sit and dwell and explain to me, your girl, your little guy, you can explain to the world why you didn't, or you can say, I had this fucking 10 minutes with Gary. Like I'm deciding to look a different way. And I'm so goddamn young, which you are. How old are you?
25.
You're a baby.
You're right. You know what I mean?
You're a baby, but you need to put 24 hours a day of ambition in your ears. Don't let that become delusion. Don't make it about the money. Make it about the process of getting happy, which also has the chance of bringing you value financially, potentially. But if you go for happiness, like there's just so many things that stood out from this call with me. One, just the way you talked about, like this way you smiled when you said your son, I already knew we were good. But then also the delusion that you think 6 to 8 hours is going at it. I'm like, okay, this guy's really in that cocoon. We got to pull him the fuck out. Josh, I'm trying to pull you the fuck out.
So basically, like, you know, like,
bro, I work 6 to 8 hours as a hobby before I go into work.
See, and that's the thing, you know, I mean, that's why I wanted to talk to you, because basically, like I said, I'm stuck, you know, basically 6 to 8 hours. I work 6 to 8 hours because basically those are only hot times to make good money. Basically,
no, that's only good hot times to make money on driving Uber Eats.
Yeah.
What you could do as soon as you're done with the last fucking delivery of some fucking pizza is go to Goodwill and spend $18, find some shit, post it that night and make 88.
Oh yeah. And that's another thing too. I really like to resell things. Like, I'm really good at
No, you don't. You like the thought of it. If you liked it the way I like it, you do it 24/7. I used to fucking work 13 hours a day in my dad's liquor store, then come home and post on eBay. That's called like. You like the idea of it. You don't like it because work ethic isn't fucking in your blood yet. Anything could be taught. You know how many muscles I had? Zero. Fucking 6 years ago. Then I finally got it into my system and now I work out. And that, like, you could, anybody, I mean, I thought I could never be healthy in my workout regimen. I hate it. I still hate it. But I got over the hoop where I made it palpable enough because I know it matters. You need to fucking learn to love work.
All right, sounds good.
I like where your eyes just went. You understand? Not I'm going to use work to get that money to, because you understand you got to get out of it. No, you have to love it so you do it every fucking minute. And then you got to back it back out and balance with the son and the girlfriend and all that. But like, you need to find something you love. Call it indeed. Like, because you don't like the flip life. You like the idea of it.
You're right.
Everybody loves entrepreneurship. Not anymore. Now that it's hard, I'm getting all sorts of crazy emails. And DMs. I look at their accounts. They were flexing entrepreneur life, bottles at the fucking club. Like, yo, entrepreneur life. Now they're crying to me because they don't know what the fuck to do. They didn't love it. They love the fucking picture for the gram.
Mm-hmm.
They love the 2 a.m. fucking party that they'll never forget. They forgot. That shit's distant history. Now they're fucking scared. You know why? Because all their fucking self-esteem is wrapped up in being a fucking entrepreneur, and now they're going to have to work at fucking Chase Bank because their fucking direct-to-consumer t-shirt business is fucked.
That's true.
Because they spent fucking $1,400 on a bottle of Grey Goose trying to get that girl instead of putting it in the bank. That's what they did. What you need to do is realize yours is a little bit different. You just don't have that relationship with work.
See, I never really had that relationship with work. Like I said, me basically coming from nothing and just trying to build, I'm trying to find my way around. But I'll be honest with you, Gary, I've pretty much limited mostly anything I could do due to my body tattoos. I do get looked at differently.
Good news. That is the bullshit excuse of all time. If you think in 2020, I'll tell you, if you think that it's not 1974, bro.
You're right. It just, you know, I went to a job interview like 2 weeks ago, for example.
Fuck, and he looked at me like it was crazy. Bro, that's one job.
You're right.
That's one job. You know how many fucking clients don't hire VaynerMedia because I curse? Straight talk. You know how many big companies don't hire us because I'm on LinkedIn? Like, I'm going to fuck, you know, they're like, fuck that. But that's one.
You're right.
Bro, I promise you, you can get any, where do you live?
Philadelphia.
Bro, you can get any job at any coffee shop or fucking cool fucking bar in Philadelphia because you look the part instead of the reverse. They want your neck tattoo.
You're right.
A hot fashion brand wants your tattoo. Fucking hip hop brand wants your tattoo. You're going into some stodgy ass fucking company, fine. But that's you setting up for the L so you can use the excuse of the tattoo. Don't fucking, you know me, I'm not getting tricked out here.
I got you.
You understand?
It's yeah, I'm going to go out and give it 100.
It's 2020. I judge people who wear fucking suits and a tie more than somebody who's got a fucking tat of a fucking eye drop on their fucking face. It's 2020, bro.
I dig it. I'm going to give him 100, man. Gary, I promise.
Listen to me. Your little man needs this from you. You need to show him. I'm going to send you that PlayStation because I promise that I want him to be fucking happy as fuck. But then on the flip side, right behind you, be like, look, dad worked hard. Don't tell him. We'll tell him years later. He'll watch this video. Yo, dad worked hard for this. And if you want shit, you got to work. So this Saturday, we're going, when the fucking corona's over, we're going garage sailing. I'm giving you $2. You're going to buy some shit. We're going to come home and we're going to post on eBay. You teach him work ethic now. You make it his culture. You flip it.
And that's what I'm trying to do. You know, me and my girlfriend both trying to, you know, show him that basically everything you get is from the muscle, that nothing is, you know, nothing's given.
Don't show him in theory, make him live it.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. My brother and I, AJ, our relationship is built on fucking garage sailing. When he was 14, I was like, let's go. It's time to fucking really go at it. And I would wake up at 6 a.m, drive to New Jersey. He would drive. It was at first I'd have to pick him up. A couple years later, get his license. We'd meet halfway at the wine library, and it'd be 6 a.m, fucking cold in our eye, and fucking the sun, and getting coffee, and driving an hour to a fucking flea market, buying shit for 3 hours, coming back home, fucking posting that shit. He would ship them out the next day. Work ethic is taught. Your grandparents taught you not to work. You persevered because you had the DNA. You fucking persevered. You did the hardest part, bro. But now I need to push you to that next place because now you're half pregnant. You're in the middle. You understand?
Yeah, I understand, Gary.
But show that man, make that man work.
I got you.
Beauty. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Woof.
Dustin.
Yes, sir.
What do you think about that one? I think that was like 4 days pent up. I think it was a little pent up. You know, sometimes when you're pent up.
It's, it kind of reminds me of the thing I was working on. The, how you said, if you put your focus on the 15%, you like that 85% more. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, you can use some of this content.
Yep.
Awesome. Let's keep it going.
Yep.
Admins, Team Gary, you know, please look for that email. It's Josh, it's Gary at VaynerMedia.com. Just put send me the PlayStation, motherfucker. All right, let's keep it going.
Yeah, I told Zane, so awesome. He's on top of it.
Great, thank you. Man, that was good. Laura.
Hey, Gary, how's you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. I want you to give it to me. That last call, wow, that really resonated with me. I was homeless. And my work ethic, it wasn't great the last 3 years. I've been in between jobs, and I've really kicked it up. I'm on multiple social networks. I'm on LinkedIn. I posted my first article last night.
Good for you.
Posted on homelessness because I can relate. And I finally got on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. I check it. And I've been hitting it hard. I've had people tell me, you know, why are you working so hard? Because if I don't have a job, my job is to get a job. And what you've been talking about, going to not going to school, not giving it all, I went all the way. I spent 12 years in college, and I'm scared shitless. I am fucking scared. And I got a son, and I made a lot of bad choices. And he's with his dad, who's an amazing father. And because of those choices, I'm where I'm at now. I got my own place, but I'm delving into my investments, and it sucks because I'm being told by the directors, the hiring managers, you're going to take my job. We can't afford you, or you're not going to stick around because you're going to find something better. And I've been applying at Jewel and Walmart. And I mean, I'm ready to, I mean, I've been hitting the podcast hard. I've been watching your shit. I've been watching, I'm on a career forum, work it daily, and I'm working it every single day. And, I want to start a live feed, but I don't know which one to go with. I have a strong profile. I believe I have a strong profile. I've gotten some really good suggestions and tweaks to alter it. I'm very proud of that.
It's awesome.
But I own the shit that I've done. I own the mistakes that I've made.
I can see it. I appreciate it.
Fuck those who don't appreciate it, because I appreciate it for me. And yeah. I feel more energized now than I have in probably 10 years. And I went all the way with career, that shit. I mean, marathons, Pentagon, military, just professionalism, education. But I feel like it's hard to all that childhood shit. My PhDs in family studies, all that childhood shit's coming back. All that feelings of negative self-worth, negativity. And what am I, how? My son, he's learning things. He's 10. He'll be 11 next week. Yes, mom, may I help you, please? Yes, sir, thank you. He holds the door open. He says, mom, excuse me. I really don't want to talk right now. Is it okay if we talk at such and such a time? I mean, what 10-year-old boy says, mom, that's sexist when he sees stuff. That's racist when he sees stuff. Who says that Santa's got to be a boy? I mean, he's doing shit that I never, my dissertation was on at-home dads. And my ex-husband, he works full time, but he's literally an at-home dad. He takes care of my son, thank God, because I was not in a place that I was able to do that. Because I made some serious choices, negative choices, and I own it.
Yeah, listen, Laura, one thing I can tell you for sure that I see, is, and I hope people see it in your face, I admire accountability so much. Like, you know, you're talking right now, and the admiration is pouring out of me, because, you know, being accountable leads to so much happiness. You know, once you can actually own it, so much more good can happen because of it. So like the fact that you're at that place, because I promise, just knowing people, you were not at the accountable place maybe 7 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, right? You're in that delusional spot. The fact that
I've made my amends. And those who don't want to hear it, that's their stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm willing to do
it. I think the big thing now is just going on the offense on, you know, you had the great fortune that your ex-husband was able to instill kind of a foundation for the little guy. And so now you go off that momentum. You got to make sure that you have no resentment, no regret, and you just go on pure offense from this point.
Not towards them, on the offense towards, I'm worth enough. And I'm starting to feel that. I'm still in a state of toxicity. I feel like it's swallowing me, and it's hard to get a breath. Yeah, and I know I have a lot to give. I don't want to get in that pity pot. Pour me another drink. I won't do that.
Good for you.
And
Listen,
I
think
the networking you need to rely- is out of the sky. The networking is exponentially amazing.
Look, I know where my line in the sand is. You know, I know for myself where I feel comfortable talking about things, and when things go to another level where, you know, I think I have raw talents of human behavior, and then I think there's actual professionals and things of that nature. So I think it's a combo. One thing I can tell you that's very obvious to me is the community and network. You beat me to it. I think you have to do a Facebook Live today and just talk and interact. You have to. You have to do that, because I think the ability to feel part of a community is a massive, massive oxygen play in these kind of scenarios. You know, I think you really need to think about that.
I'm an empath like you, and I'm an energizer, and I don't just wait. I used to go to classes in college, and they say, I'd get out of the first class, and my colleagues would say, Laura, do you have the first paper written? They knew. I just go and I do. I'm not going to wait for, oh, well, I'll do it when I feel like it, when I get motivated.
What can I help you with? Like, what can I help you with?
I'm still scared.
What's the question or of what?
Which outlet to go by? How do I market myself? I can't see me.
What are you trying to sell? Like, it's an important thing. Like, what, and when I say sell, it doesn't mean you're monetizing. It could mean you're monetizing.
No.
It could be legacy. It could be building a community. I think you have to start with the finish line.
I want to have a sense of connection that I have made a difference in someone's life. I want to offer myself to be of service.
I have great news. You've already accomplished that in this talk in the last 5 minutes. I'm telling you the truth. You just need to now listen. I did the same thing. I had three people. You have to go in with confidence, not insecurity, depending on this scenario, meaning the following. I need you to hear this very loud and clear. I used to do Ustreams that had 13 people in it. Six. You sense of connection is one. You can go on Facebook Live right now. You can hang up right now and go on Facebook Live. And if you have Facebook account, one person might show up.
It doesn't matter how much money I have in the bank, how big my house was, what kind of car I had, if I just made a difference in somebody's life.
Well, but listen, Laura, I need to make sure we're not being in full of shit mode. You can do that right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's very cute, and I'm very happy to hear that. But like, I have good news. You know, go on right now. Literally hang up right now and go on. Like, if you go live.
How do I do that? I mean, do I
just go on Facebook? Google right now how to go on Facebook, right? It's funny, but it's true.
You're an asshole. But I love it. I love it. Just tell it.
Because I'm not, right? Like, that's the fun part.
Because you're real.
It's not only real, it's coming from such a good place. You know what's amazing about Google being the answer to that? Then when you decide to go on Instagram Live and you don't know, it's Google. Like, Google is my education. I was a terrible student. Like almost everything I've learned has been starting with Google 2000 up until this point. It's empowering, right? Like, people are looking for excuses or are insecure and think they can't, but the answer is Google, right? And so, go ahead.
My excuse has consistently been throughout my life. I crave external validation to increase my self-worth. I was good at school. That was the one thing I was good at.
I promise you, when I heard
12 years, in order for me to get that validation, good. I'm enough.
When I tell you that was the obvious part of this whole talk,
I'm enough.
When you said 12 years of school, I understood. Of course you're enough. Of course, college, I get it. I knew that that's what you were doing.
I mean, people look at me and they see my resume and they think something, and they don't know what's going on inside. They don't know how I feel inside. They look at me and they assume something. I present myself in a way when I'm at work, it's on. It is work. Mm-hmm. They assume something else, and they think that I'm like I'm standoffish.
Can I tell you something?
They don't know.
There's two things that I want you to do. One, I want you to go on Instagram or Facebook Live immediately, like within the next hour. Two, you have to do what we talked about in the last call. You have to, at all costs, spend 0 seconds on dwelling about yesterday. Yesterday's value to most people is their absolute devastating framework. Yesterday's value destroys people.
I'm grateful for my past because it's made me who I am. And I'm grateful for the
fact that I got it. I got it.
It's hard. You? And the events that I've made, not once did I have a negative reception. And that's not what it's about. I freed myself of the burden of holding on to that regret, because I don't want to re-feel that shit.
Correct.
And that's on them. If they feel that, that's on them.
It's
I release it.
Laura. It's fake.
No, it's not.
No, it feels real to you, but it's fake.
I don't understand.
I'll explain. Do you know what a zit is?
Yeah.
Remember those in high school?
I used to pop them. Yeah, free myself.
I used to pop them right into the window and look at the weird shit. It was weird. But nonetheless, we, before going to school the next day, thought it was fucking a big deal. Like, it was in our fucking head. You know, dudes had it worse.
It goes deeper than that. It stays with you. It's a virus. It's a fucking virus.
Stick with me, Laura. You had it big in your own head, but in school, when you got there, in reality, people were worried about their own zits. Right. You have a framework where you're worried about other people's opinions, their resentment towards you, their judgment toward you. You value it without realizing how fake it is. They're not worried about you as much as you think.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking ego.
It's narcissistic. I'm a narcissist.
Laura, that's why my life is so fun. I feel like I equally believe that I'm going to change the world and be one of the most recognized humans on earth.
You're not. Neither am I.
Correct. And I equally believe I mean zero. But you need to build that relationship with zero.
I don't want to equip myself with believing I'm a piece of shit, because I am not a piece of shit. But then again, I am a piece of shit.
That's not what I'm saying. No. Stick with me. You're not. You need to stop letting other people's judgment hold value, because they have other shit going on.
It's not about me.
Correct. They're not worried that you drank and you fucked up as a mother. They're fucking worried about their shit. Do you understand? The best news is the man's 10. You have fucking your whole life to be awesome.
He's a man.
You have your whole life. You have your whole life.
I see these videos of him. I replay these videos of him in my Facebook, and when he was 4 and 5, and he's so amazing. Yeah. And
yesterday,
I'm not just saying that.
Yesterday.
He's the man he is today.
You need to focus. Listen to me for a second. You need to focus on his 12th and 13th and 14th and 15th birthday. There's no fucking time machine, Laura. You're not going back to when he's 5. You have to at all costs understand that the only way for you to win and fix it is to dominate the fucking good news. You're not even in the second quarter. So let's use football terms, because I love it. Great. You're down 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. The Jets were down 30-7 in the fourth quarter against the Dolphins and won that game, the Monday Night Miracle. You have unlimited time to make it awesome. I'm being dead serious with you.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be fun, fucking phenomenal.
So do I know that it's because, crazy. But you have to focus on today and tomorrow. Zero about yesterday. You know how proud he's going to be of you that you went on offense from 10 on, when he knows the story that you struggled from 0 to 10? Of course. No, but I'm talking when he's 31, when he's sitting there with
mommy
his buddies.
Mommy was confused then. Mommy does better because she knows better.
That's right. And at 31, when he's sitting with his buddies, he's going to say, I admire my mom because she was in a fucked up place for the first 10 years of my life, 8 years, whatever. I don't know the details. And what she's done over the last 23 years has been unbelievable. And he's going to then tell one of his friends that you can do that too. You can't spend a fucking second on yesterday. I don't understand how this whole world thinks there's a fucking time machine.
How is it so hard? I get bombarded with, you did this, you did that. I just want to block them out. And they keep getting in my fucking face.
Tell them to go fuck themselves.
It's my choice. I let them in. That's my problem. I have the problem.
Who? Your siblings? Your aunt? Your mom? Who? Who? Give me
everybody.
Who? Give me one person. Real talk. Give me one person.
Dave.
Right, who's that?
My mother.
Your mom? Yeah. So you've got to say, listen, I know I did that. Now, thank you. Let's spend 5 minutes on what you did wrong.
No, I don't do that. I don't throw. I'm not throwing. Laura, no, I am not Laura, going down that route.
Laura, you're not following me. It's like the Zit story. Let me take a step back. The first time you say, yes, mom, you're 100% right, and I can't wait to go on offense in the future. That's cool, mom. Now, real quick, mom, just for fun, why don't we spend 5 minutes on what you did wrong?
I keep getting bombarded with it. I can't let it go. I can't.
Laura, it's suffocating. It's not suffocating. Listen to me. It's not. You have two options. You have the ability to calmly articulate a counter move to that chess move that then subsidizes and kind of stops them going on the offense because they don't want to look at themselves. People cast judgment because they don't want to judge themselves. People are great at judging everybody else but themselves.
No, I'm the best judge of myself. I judge myself when I judge others.
Listen to me. You need to do that.
I'm sick.
Or you're not sick. You're human. We all have strengths and shortcomings. You have so much you can do. Do you understand? You're in control. You take accountability. You take accountability, and then you ask them to talk about their shortcomings. Nobody likes that. Like everybody who like in my employees, my family, my friends, they hate rolling with me because when they come at it, I'm like, you're right. I did that wrong. By the way, that thing, like you can do that, or on some real shit, you can limit your interaction with them.
Just want to walk away.
It's not walk away. Everybody makes everything so absolute. That's it. I'm never talking to my mom. No, that's very different than, you know, than seeing them once, you know, talking, texting them once a week and seeing them once every 2 weeks until it gets better, or once every 2 months until it gets better. People go to the extreme on family judgment. It's like all or nothing, all cut out. No. Limiting and strategizing around that time is important. I need to go to the next one, Laura. I really wish you a lot of success. Please rewatch this, please. Like, yeah, you know, right now we're in it, but I think this is something good to rewatch like once in a while. But listen to me, you really can figure this out. I really believe that. And you're in the muck, but I know you can.
You're blessing.
But you, listen to me, Laura, thank you. But listen to me, please, tomorrow and today. There's no fucking time machines.
Got it. It's a rule.
You can do this, Laura.
Thank you.
Focus on the offense and the good. There's so much good. What a blessing.
I got this.
Laura, what a fucking blessing. Life might have given you a lot of challenges. It also gave you an ex-husband that put your son in a position that gives you such a bright future. You have to understand that. You got shitty things. You got certain DNA traits that led to things. You got parenting situations, other things. I get it. But you can't, like, you get to choose what you decide to look at. You do. Not your mom, not me, right. Not the time machine. You. So choose to look at the good shit.
I'm going forward.
I know the hard wiring makes you go back to the bad shit. I get it. I really genuinely get it. But you can be disciplined. It's like working out. You can chop away. Please do me a favor. Please just rewatch this once a week.
Okay. All right. Promise.
I wish you well. Take care.
Thanks. Thank you.
You're welcome so much. Let's keep it going. Harrison.
Hello, my name is Harrison Lamock, and I am 9 years old. I live in Apex, North Carolina, and I have a food blog, and I'm on social media and Facebook. No, not social media. Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome.
And should I do anything else to increase my likes and followers?
The first thing you should do, Harrison, is never, ever value likes and followers. Can we stick on this subject?
Yes.
My concern, and I know you're a very young man, but what I don't want you to do is have your self-esteem and your feelings wrapped up in likes and followers. I don't want you to feel validated. Like, and I know everybody does, Harrison, even 88-year-olds, even great-grandpas do. It's okay, but it's important for you to not overly value likes and followers. The key for you is to make videos that make you happy.
Okay.
Do you understand? because you know that you and your friends, they talk about how many TikTok followers or subscribers, and everybody gets caught up in the game. And what ends up happening, my man, is eventually then when it doesn't go as well, you get sad. It's like popularity. I don't want, you know how popularity in school is already starting to happen, like who's right? And then sometimes if you don't feel popular, you get unhappy. I'm worried that that's what would happen if you care about how many likes and subscribers you have. Your old Uncle Gary here, he didn't have a lot of subscribers and likes the first 5 to 7 years of what he did. 7 years ago, you were 2 years old. So I want you to be real patient and just make what you want to make. And then maybe when you're 20, you'll be happy where it's at. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You need to make epic food content because you love it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't even look at the likes and followers until you're 18. Then you call me and then I'll help you get a whole bunch more if you want.
Gotcha.
All right, brother. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. I fucking love this show. Big announcements coming on the internet. You're going to see it everywhere by this afternoon. You'll know your man was a part of that situation, so I can't wait for you to see that. WineTex got a monster today, Dustin. Let's throw that up. Got a little bit of a monster on WineTex today. Actually, I have to write that up in a little bit. So if you're not signed up, yes, sir.
I think you're ending at 10 today.
I am.
I think so.
I am. The answer is yes, I am.
Okay. Just wanted to remind you, just in case.
I appreciate it. No, I know. I'm in the zone. Today was a fucking beast, man.
Yeah.
Not a lot of them, but pretty deep.
Yeah.
I'll just say hello to some peeps. Oh, man. Vicky, how are you? Rohit. Justice Soto, what's good, brother? Dustin, put back wine text. I need some sign-ups from my dad. Tasha, thank you so much. What do you guys think about today's episode? Pretty tense, huh? Allegra, I love you back, Carla. Deep Pebble, it's good. That's funny. Ginger, I have to end, I'm sorry. Sarah B, what's good? Hello to Israel. David, what's up? I really appreciate you guys. This was an emotional one. It was a deep one. Deep, see ya. Love you. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern. Set your alarms. Get your friends on. And please pay very close attention to Instagram this afternoon. It's going to get real interesting, real fast. See ya. As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away, which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. And today's highlighted review by Creeper Wolf Craft. Me and my dad have been listening to Gary Vee for so long that my dad started his own podcast. Gary Vee's podcast is the best podcast hands down. Drop the mic. Hey, Wolfcraft, thank you for tuning in and say hi to your dad for us. Like always, please leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast for a chance to be featured next. See ya.